Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to be with you on this Tuesday morning. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition, and let's get right into our topic this morning. We are going to go warp speed here. We're going to talk for just a moment about the reality of a digital passport that is confirming your vaccination status and how that's on the way right now. We're hearing it everywhere. It's called warp speed. And here is an article from Prophecy News Network, and here's what it says. International travel will soon look after or far different. Okay, so international travel will look far different than it once did. Now that multitude or multiple vaccines from COVID-19 have been rushed through the development process, it is just a matter of time before they start being widely distributed. I heard this morning that within a week, the first batch of vaccines are going to hit the United States. Now, we've been hearing this for how long? For months, right? So we're all going all the way back to May, June, vaccination. Well, here it is. We're the first day of December, and here it comes. And it says it is just a matter of time before they start being widely distributed. In fact, we are being told that the rollout for COVID-19 vaccines here in the United States will likely begin sometime in the middle of December. And again, this morning I was hearing on the news, Newsmax, that it could be within 1 week from now. There will be millions of people that will be quite eager to rush out and get injected. But of course, there will be millions of others that never intend to get vaccinated under any circumstances. Unfortunately, those that choose not to get vaccinated could soon find themselves being unable to travel internationally, which, quite frankly, that's not such a bad deal if you don't have to. For months, there has been speculation about the possibility of some sort of COVID passport for international travel, but now it is being reported that such a thing is actually in the final development phase. The International Air Transportation Association, or the IATA, said Monday it's in the final development phase of a mobile digital passport app that would tell airlines if international travelers had been vaccinated against COVID-19. The app would help get people traveling again safely. IATA's Nick Kareen said in a statement by, quote, giving governments confidence that systematic COVID-19 testing can work as a replacement for quarantine requirements. End of quote. So needless to say, the International Air Transport Association will be strongly urging all carriers to use this new digital passport in the months ahead. But will the airlines go along? In Australia, Qantas chief executive Alan Joyce has already made it quite clear that he expects international travelers to prove that they have been vaccinated. He said, "We are looking at changing our terms and conditions to say for international travelers that we will ask people to have the vaccination before they get on the aircraft," Joyce told Australia's news network, Nine Television. And Korean Air is taking a similar stance. Jill Chung, a spokesperson for Korean Air, said Tuesday, "There's a real possibility that airlines will require that passengers be vaccinated." She said that's because governments are likely to require vaccinations as a condition for lifting quarantine requirements for new arrivals. Here in the United States, the major airlines are not committing one way or the other just yet. When asked if American Airlines would implement such a policy, a company spokesperson said that while the airline is pleased that vaccine development is moving forward, it's too early to comment on policies related to a COVID-19 vaccine. A spokesperson from Delta couldn't share specifics either and noted that the entire pandemic has been unpredictable. A spokesperson for Southwest said that the airline will continue monitoring public health information from the CDC, the latest scientific research and insights from our internal and external experts to guide our operational policies as we work to support the well-being of our customers and employees during the COVID-19 pandemic. JetBlue and United did not respond to a request for comment. But if the federal government ultimately decides to order the airlines to go along with this new program, you know that they will fall in line. And once COVID passports are in place for international travel, how long will it be before they start being required for domestic travel? Prior to the pandemic, talking about such a thing would have been unimaginable. But at this point, we are seeing unimaginable measures being instituted all over the world. For example, we just learned that police will be going door-to-door in Belgium to enforce COVID restrictions even during the holidays. Belgian Interior Minister Annelies Verlinden has warned her fellow countrymen that police will knock on doors at Christmas if needed to enforce Wuhan coronavirus measures. The Interior Minister stated that law enforcement would make sure to enforce the strict Wuhan coronavirus lockdown measures even on Christmas Day, saying that, quote, "if necessary, if there is a lot of noise, for example, the police will knock on doors." On our side of the Atlantic, things are becoming increasingly draconian as well. Out in Oregon, Governor Kate Brown is actually encouraging residents to spy on their neighbors and to report any infractions to law enforcement authorities. "Look," she said, this is a quote, "this is no different than what happens if there's a party down the street and it's keeping everyone awake," Brown told KGW8 last week. "What do neighbors do? They call law enforcement because it's too noisy. This is just like that. It's like a violation of a noise ordinance." My God, are they going to be surprised on December 7th when a noise wave, a sound wave, is going to shake this nation? Let me continue for just a moment. Honestly, they shouldn't have to. This is about saving lives, and it's about protecting our fellow Oregonians. To me, that sounds like the sort of thing they used to do in East Germany at the height of the Cold War. In New York City, they have decided to set up vehicle checkpoints at import bridges and crossings in order to enforce the new restrictions, which were just put in place. New York City will have vehicle checkpoints at key bridges and crossings, and will strictly enforce the travel quarantine, Sheriff Joseph Fusito said. The sheriff's office will conduct spot checks when out-of-state buses drop riders off at the curb. Test and tracing teams will be on the ground to direct individuals to testing sites and provide education on quarantine, Fusito said. If things are this bad already, can you imagine what they will do if this pandemic gets a lot worse, or if an even more dangerous pandemic eventually comes along? The good news is that there has been a lot of resistance to absurd restrictions here in the United States, and that is going to make it difficult for the politicians to push things too far. And surveys have shown that approximately two-thirds of the U.S. population is against mandatory vaccinations, and other surveys have shown that only a minority of all Americans plan to get a COVID vaccine right away. With so few Americans getting vaccinated, that is going to make it really hard for the airlines to make it a requirement for their passengers. Also, it is going to take more than one trip to the doctor to be fully vaccinated, and those trips won't be pleasant. This week, one prominent member of the AMA even admitted that some people may not want to come back for a second shot because they are probably not going to feel wonderful after the first shot. Dr. Sandra Fryhofer of the American Medical Association said both Pfizer and Moderna's COVID-19 vaccines require two doses at varying intervals. As a practicing physician, she said she worries whether her patients will come back for a second dose because of the potentially unpleasant side effects they may experience after the first shot. She said, "We really need to make patients aware that this is not going to be a walk in the park," Fryhofer said during a virtual meeting with the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, or the ACIP, an outside group of medical experts that advise the CDC. She is also a liaison to the committee, and she said they are going to know they had a vaccine. They are probably not going to feel wonderful, but they've got to come back for that second dose. In addition, in previous articles, we've discussed the fact that COVID antibodies fade very rapidly. And so to have any sort of lasting immunity, people would need to go back to the doctor every few months for more shots. On top of everything else, if a new strain of COVID that does not respond to the vaccines becomes dominant, the shots that people get may not even do them any good in the long run. A lot of the quote-unquote experts out there are anticipating that these vaccines will allow our lives to return to normal soon, but I don't think that is going to happen. Instead, I'm expecting even more draconian measures to be instituted all over the globe in 2021, and that is extremely unfortunate. That's our first article today, waking up, because this warp speed that everybody's talking about is becoming a reality. The things that people feared, or the people that things that people talked about back in the spring of 2020, well, they're here now, and it's going to be who's going to follow who, you know, who's going to get the first vaccination, or, you know, what city, what town, what state, where is this going to go? Is it going to go to the elderly? Is it going to go to first responders, to the medical field itself? Are they going to be the same vaccination for everybody? Are there different vaccinations? It's a very weird moment when it comes to vaccinations, because this may have been planned, you know, so long ago, and now the way to implement the plan, or if it just came on the stage, you know, with this coronavirus, regardless, it's something that's happening that there's an unsurety. And who in their right mind is going to take something into their body that they're not sure about? Well, it's obvious that people do. People do take things into their body they're not sure how their body's going to respond to. That's what drug addiction is all about. That's what taking crystal methamphetamine, cocaine, heroin, you know, laced with angel dust or whatever people are putting into their bodies. Nobody really knows. But if your government is telling you that this is the right thing to do, this is safe, and you know what, you can be like Donald J. Trump. After he was diagnosed with COVID-19, we gave him a cocktail and some therapy and therapeutics, and look how he ran for all those days. I'm not so sure where it's all going, but we're going to talk a little bit more about it as we go today. And I would like to move into a little bit of a Bible study. But before I do, I want to say good morning to our dear friend, David Ellefson. Good morning from David Nicole. Good morning to both of you. Laquita is with us this morning. God bless you, Laquita. And David Obenauer, Pastor Dave up in South Dakota, is with us today. God bless you, Pastor David. Nancy Honeycutt is with us, Pastor Kevin Honeycutt's wife in Tennessee. Good morning, Nancy. God bless you and your family. And Pastor Dave is already saying no thanks to the vaccination. I think there's going to be a lot of that sentiment. Callie Reynolds is with us this morning. Good morning, Callie. God bless you. Carol Carey, good morning from Roanoke, Virginia. It's cold and windy. Brr. It's cold here, too. We were down in the 20s last night. Pray, remember, pray, Jesus said, that your flight be not in the winter. And folks, after we read our Bible study today, we need to start really praying that our flight be not in the winter, because something that's been standing up and standing in the gap eventually is going to be taken out of the way. And we need to know where it's going, and we need to know what it is. And we're going to look at that today. And I want to say to our Pastor Dave is saying, I'll wait until the ditch is full and walk across. All right. Blind leading the blind. We agree that that's a lot of that's going to be going on. People are going to be looking to man, not having the Holy Spirit discernment that we need. And we will depend on the guide that Jesus gave to us, the Holy Spirit, to guide us, lead us, direct us, teach us, give us discernment. All the gifts that are in that gift called the Holy Spirit, God's Holy Spirit is alive. There's an intelligence that guides us. You're going to need it. I'm going to need it. You're not going to be able to follow a man. I'm not going to be able to follow a man. It has to boil down to that relationship that is so important that we've been talking about for how long? 38 years, 50 years in some cases. All of God's kids alive and remaining right now, we are going to depend upon the Holy Spirit saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. We will not allow ourselves to be led by the voice of the news media. We cannot, because they have been wrong before. We cannot allow that to happen. And remember, Acts 27, when the south wind blew softly, it appeared that they were ready to go. It all looked well. And yet, the moment they started that journey, a Euroclydon storm came upon that ship. We cannot be moved by our senses. We cannot be moved by our feelings. We cannot be moved by our own mental reasoning and faculty of the brain, what we would call common sense, because this is not a common time, and this is not a time to walk in the sense realm. We must be led by the Holy Spirit, depend upon the Holy Spirit, and have confidence. Brothers and sisters, it is imperative that you and I have confidence before God in this hour, that in the day of judgment, you might have confidence. And our confidence is knowing that we have been willing to follow the leading of the Spirit of God, obey the Word of God, do what the Word of God says. And if our conscience bothers us at any level because we have not been doing or pressing in and becoming intimate with the Holy Spirit or doing things we shouldn't have been doing, it's going to be very difficult to have the confidence and the trust to say, I know the Holy Spirit is leading my life. Now, if you're born again and the Holy Spirit is in you, then there's a voice in you. There's an intelligence in you. And we need that voice and that intelligence to lead us and guide us. And I believe that's the voice of the great shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ, the bishop of our soul, and that he will lead us into the fruitful fields of his grazing abundance. I do believe the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is our shepherd, and the voice of the Spirit will be his voice. And we need to be close to him. We don't need to be on the wayside. We don't need to be the lost little sheep out there any longer. We need to come and get as close to the great shepherd as we possibly can. Know the word of God with all your heart, all your soul. Let your mind be changed by the word of God from any ideas or paradigms or thoughts or patterns of thought that you have held your whole life, or I have. And let the word of God keep changing us. Keep peering in. Don't say, oh, I read that before. I read that scripture before. Keep reading the word of God. You know, and I know, it's like a big onion. And one day you peel back a layer and you go, wow, there's new territory here. You could pull back another layer, because the depth the length, the breadth, the height of the Word of God and the living, breathing Word of God. When the Holy Spirit makes contact with that seed, that Logos Word of God, man, that is power. And so let the Word of God keep working. Get to the meeting place where the ecclesia gathers and let the teachers teach. Let the preachers preach. Let the pastors do what they do. Let the prophets prophesy. Let the apostles lay forth sound doctrine. Let it be. Let God use the fivefold ministry to quicken your life, to build you up, to make you ready, to meet the Lord, to prepare you. Don't go on your own. Don't go on your own. God has designed the body that there are that it nourishes one another. Do not forsake the gathering of yourselves together as the manner of some, especially as you see the day approaching. We're going to talk about that day in just a moment. I want to say good morning too. Oh, Nancy said she had a little snow out there in Tennessee. Ben, if there was any moisture, I would imagine so, Nancy. Kathy Brun's calling in this morning. Good morning from South Dakota. Time is running out. Get on board with God now. Amen to that. And so let's go. Nancy and Sarah Ackerman is saying this morning, where are you at, Sarah? There you are. Good morning. And this is terrifying. And I believe she's referring to the news that we were just talking about, but not for us. We're not terrified by it. We're awakened. We are awakened. And remember this, that while the world is going to be calling for a vaccination, and remember, what I'm going to say to you right now, it doesn't matter how many times you've heard it before. It's still the truth, whether it's been an experience in your life or anybody else's life. It's still the truth. And you and I have the right to access that truth. While the world is looking for a vaccination for COVID-19, we have Psalm 91. Just reverse the 19 to 91. Psalm 91 is a supernatural anointing for the immune system. And if God created our physical bodies with an immune system, why couldn't God now, with the spiritual promises in His Word, create an immune system in your body by His Spirit? Oh my God, His Word is like knitting together. He's knitting an immunity within you, a strengthening within you. By your faith, through God's power and His promise, He is able to keep no plague shall come nigh thy dwelling. Pestilence, all the things that Psalm 91 talked about shall have no power over your life. In fact, in the New Covenant, we're told that death has been abolished, and he who had the power of death, that is the devil, has been destroyed. We are not here to fear death. I know what's happening is, I like to use the word electrifying. Why? We knew this was coming. We knew this was coming. And what have we been doing all the years we've been hearing these things? Preparing, preparing, preparing. And people got bored with the message of preparing, but COVID-19, coronavirus, it took the nations by surprise. And the warning message to prepare there all along, it depended on how people responded to it. We were to prepare spirit, soul, and body. Spiritually, meaning get your inner man, your inner woman, strong in the spirit. Let the Holy Spirit and your spirit be integrated. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. So God's spirit and your spirit are growing at exponential rates, accelerated, strong, powerful, nourished. The Spirit and the Word ministering, growing up your new creation. And then, of course, preparing the soul. Remember, we are tripart beings. We are spirit, soul, and body. The power of God begins in our spirit, and it works out into our soul. What is our soul? That is our mind, our will, our emotions, our thoughts, our memories. That is our intelligence, our intellect. The soul is made up. That's who we are. It's our soul. But there's a lot of damage in the soul. There are a lot of dark areas and deception and blind spots in the soul. So the power of light in the Holy Spirit, in our spirit, works into our soul, changing our thinking, calming down our emotions, washing clear our conscience. I mean, there's a great work of God going on in the soul to make the soul a beautiful, light-bearing, glorious soul without guilt, shame, or condemnation. And that is so important that your soul is clear, that your thoughts, your memories have been sanctified through the blood of Jesus Christ and by the washing of the water of the Word of God. It is imperative that your soul is prepared, your spirit is prepared. But then God didn't say to neglect the physical preparation. He said, prepare your whole being, your spirit, soul, and body. So what have we been doing? While we've been getting built up in the spirit, while we've been washing our soul, God's been washing us thoroughly from our iniquity, cleansing us from our sin, giving us a new mind, doing the work. Well, we've also been getting those cans of food, putting away some water, getting some medical supplies, doing things to make ready in case of a physical breakdown, in case there comes the famine and the pestilence that the Word of God talked about, that when all these things begin to come to pass, we will have our ark ready. Your life, you are responsible for having an ark. You have heard the message when your spirit resonated with the message that you needed to do this. Now, what were people caught off guard with in the beginning of this COVID-19 thing? You know what it was? Toilet paper. There was a toilet paper crisis. I wonder how many preppers really had enough toilet paper. You would think, well, I'm sure plenty. It was probably one of those things we weren't thinking about, right? Toilet paper. Now, thank God we had plenty of toilet paper. Did you have toilet paper? So what is it going to be that we're not thinking about? And this is, again, praying in the Holy Spirit. Pray in tongues. Let this gift. I've been praying in tongues for 38 years, and I believe there's been such an ability by the Spirit of God to get through things, because when I didn't know what to do and I began to pray in the Spirit, and my wife and I, Patricia and I, would pray in the Spirit together, we always got through, because God always imparted wisdom, revelation, knowledge to whatever was necessary. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Don't stop. Don't let your mind dictate the direction. Pray in the Spirit. Pray beyond your mind. Remember, the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's hostile against God. Will not obey God. So don't operate out of your mind, your senses, your logic, your reason. That is nonsense. It falls way short. Operate in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Get above. Ascend. There's an open heaven. Go into it. Hear the Word of God. Do what God tells you to do. You're going to love it. It's going to be an amazing time for your life. I believe that with all of my heart. Now, I want to say good morning also to Ditto Never Vaccine. Yeah, there's a good morning from Dean Smith out there this morning. Good morning, Dean Smith. God bless you, dear friend, for putting your hand to the plow. Dave saying from South Dakota to Tennessee and Virginia, that's not cold. I guess South Dakota knows what cold is. Praise the Lord. All right, let's keep going this way here. We have Sarah Ackerman is saying, can you lose the Holy Spirit? Let's talk about that. We certainly know you could quench it, and we certainly know you could grieve it. So we need to know what to quench and to grieve is to answer that question, and we will when we get into our Bible study. Nancy Honeycutt, amen. Kim Bowling from Colorado, yes, I and my Father are one. Hallelujah. All right, so let's get into this a little bit. We are at warp speed right now, and we are dealing with, thank you, Jesus, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I know you say, we've been there so many times, but we need to talk about it because there's some mysteries here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. If you have a Bible, I'd love for you to join me. And then we have a lot of other things we're talking about, and we're going to definitely talk about what's going on next Monday. I mean, it's Tuesday. We're talking 6 days from now. We are going to be rallying. Millions of people are going to be rallying to state capitals across the United States of America. 50 million people gathered together at 50 state capitals on December 7th at 3 p.m. Millions of others will be on their knees in their living room, their kitchen, their bedroom. And at 3 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, a synchronized reality of 50 million plus people are going to bend their knees before God Almighty and confess our sin as a nation and our lethargy and our inability to respond to the crises when we needed to that has brought us to the condition that we have right now. And at 3 o'clock Eastern Time, 2 o'clock Central Standard Time, 1 o'clock Mountain Time, 12 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, this 50 plus million people are going to bow and humbly confess, and then we're going to stand up and we're going to shout, and we are going to shout a particular prayer found in 1 Kings chapter 1, God save President Donald J. Trump. And we're going to anoint him, and we're going to inaugurate him with our mouth. Our words are going to leave our lips. They're going to go out into the atmosphere, and we are going to anoint, inaugurate, and ordain all 50 plus million people at the same time with a sound. And that when we declare Donald J. Trump to be the president of the United States of America, we're going to shout, shofars are going to blast, pipes are going to be piping, people are going to rejoice, and there is going to be a spiritual earthquake that is going to shake this North American continent. And that spiritual earthquake is going to move Joe Biden and everything connected to him out of place. And it's going to shake Donald Trump into position as the president of the United States. The biblical reality behind what we're doing is found in 1 Kings chapter 1. Now, when we do this prophetic act on December 7th at 3 p.m., when we do this, when 70-some-odd million people do this on December 7th, 6 days from now at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, simultaneously throughout the nation, we believe that the Supreme Court, the House of Representatives, wherever this goes, they're going to respond by officially ordaining the president. It's going to happen. And on January 20th, we're going to see Donald J. Trump go into the office. Where are we getting this from? 1 Kings chapter 1. We have not always been of this persuasion, but we have something that we've been talking about. We had a dream over a year ago. Joe Biden won the election, but there was something wrong. This is now happening and being fulfilled. We're finding out what is wrong is that there's been fraud. There's been all kinds of deception and corruption. And it's probably, there's so much, it's probably like an avalanche. But there is a labor force that is laboring in every area to get this thing worked through. We're going to do our part. We're supporting the prophets that prophesied a two-term election for Donald J. Trump. We are getting involved. We are not standing back observing. We are not having a critical finger or raising an eyebrow. We're getting involved. And this is what God said to do. When praying, why did you give the dream about Joe Biden winning but looking the way he looked? Well, the answer was 2 Chronicles chapter 8. Meant very little, but the idea and the question was, how did Solomon come to the throne? Because 2 Chronicles chapter 8 was all about Solomon building cities and building walls, exactly what President Trump has been doing for the last 4 years. And then the question, how did Solomon come to the throne? Found the story in 1 Kings chapter 1. The answers to what we're doing are there. It's a prophetic act. The concern, yes, I'm going to say it again. Ezekiel chapter 7, verse 14, 15, 16, the trumpet has sounded, but none goes to the battle because the wrath of the Lord is upon this people. God forbid that this country, that the ecclesia, the patriots, the church, the people, the voters that voted for Donald Trump, God forbid we do not rally and do what God is giving us to do. It's a plan. You're going to do it. I'm going to do it. We've got a whole crew coming from Northwest Arkansas, just from New Wine Ministries. And pastors out there are hearing the word of God, and they're going to respond. We don't know what's going to happen. All we know, we're going to our state capitol on December 7th, and we're going to show up around 1:30 or so. We're going to position ourselves in front of the state capitol. And at 2 o'clock Central Standard Time, which is 3 o'clock Eastern Time, we are going to bend our knee in silent humble contrition. And after we have prayed a simple prayer of humble contrition, we are going to rise with holy conviction, and we are going to let forth the shout. And I just told you what it was. God save President Donald J. Trump. Then we're going to ordain him. We're going to anoint him. We're going to inaugurate him. We, the people of the United States of America, are going to do what needs to be done. Then we're going to have the shout, the celebration, the rejoicing. We're going to return to our homes. We're going to go back to wherever we came from. And then we're going to trust that God will shake the earth, just like he did in 1 Kings chapter 1, And we're going to witness with our eyes after this simple little discomfort of going to a state capitol, a simple little discomfort of getting to our knees, bended knees, wherever we're able to be. But if you're able to be at a state capitol, you should get to a state capitol. If you want to discomfort yourself, we drove 19 hours with the stops in between to Washington, D.C. to be a part of the MAGA rally. It was a great trip. You get some good friends. You get your snacks. You have your fun time and you go. You just go. You take a road trip. You stop living like your little tiny environment of home is your reality. You're going to leave this earth one day. You're going to have a brand new body one day. You're going to go to heaven one day. You're going to be in the presence of the angels of God and Jesus Christ himself one day. You were not built, for this generation was not built to be settlers. We are pioneers. We're moving out. We're going into new territory. We've got work to do. We are the ecclesia. We are the voice of God. We are the body of Christ. And we must do the prophetic acts that the Spirit of God tells us to do. It's a very simple thing. I'm talking to people, even our own landlords, that we rent a house. And our landlords, we told them what we were doing. They're in Florida. They're Catholics. I told them what we were doing last night on a phone because we have to get our plumbing fixed. They started rejoicing at what God is doing. And I believe if you and I get the word out, spread it out, just get it out. Somebody's got to have the ability to get it to Newsmax. I've already reached out to Lance Wallno and Dutch Sheets and Clay Nash. I got a call back from Lance Wallno's office that he's really too busy to connect back, but I sent them the email. Hopefully he got it. Hopefully somewhere he's talking about it. His office called back. And so we'll see. We do the best we can. We leave what? We leave the results with God. We leave the results with God. So find somebody that has the best car for the road trip to your state capital. Gather a number of people, get a number of cars, you know, have a bandwagon down there, go out there, walk around, wait for the time, synchronize it, and do it. Do it. We are just to our north here. We have Missouri. We're on the very border of Missouri and Arkansas, in northwest Arkansas, and we're on radio Saturday mornings on KNEO. And this week, just yesterday, we were getting calls everywhere from people in Missouri that were hearing our message, thanking God for what they're hearing. And they're getting involved. They'll be going to Jefferson City, I believe it is, where the capital of Missouri is. And so we've got the rest of this week. Now, remember, in Washington, D.C., when that November 14th Saturday MAGA Million rally took place, they got it together in 5 days. We still need the Mike Lindells, the MyPillow guy. He needs to find out. Somebody has to get the information out. Mike Lindell was a huge sponsor to a major event. We don't need that. We don't need money to do what we're doing. We don't need a public stage. We don't need speakers. We need the body of Christ to be one voice. One voice. Nobody on the stage and other people down here. One voice. That is the message. One voice. The king has spoken. King David is the one that said, Adonijah won't be the king. Solomon will be the king. And Jesus Christ is from the seed of David. David is a type and shadow of King Jesus. King Jesus, obviously, through his prophets, has made a declaration of who's going to be the king or the president in the United States. So we have to do something. David brought all those, he told all those people, go down, bring the Cherethites, bring all the people, get the oil from the altar in the tabernacle, anoint him, inaugurate him, shout, blow the trumpets. The people had to do something. It wasn't about Nathan the prophet. It wasn't about anybody else. It was about God's purpose standing. And it was God's will for Solomon to be the king. We must show up. One voice, no extravagant financial anything. The cost is what it's going to cost you to drive to your state capital and back. And if you want to have a real party, spend the night and play Monopoly overnight or chess or keep praying, whatever it is you'd like to do. But this is the call. We can do this. We have got to get it out. Now, I was asked by some sisters in our church to do a 5-minute YouTube video about this so that it could go viral. I'm really not sure exactly how that all works, but I will do a 5 or 8 minute or 10 minute like I just did. I spent maybe, 10 minutes talking about this. I will get it and put it out there and let people know exactly what we're doing, why we're doing it, how we're doing it, and from the dream to prayer to where we are right now. I'll share that. You can get it out there. But this is all about you and I being one voice. One voice. I want to say it again. One voice. If there was ever a movement, it needs to be the one voice movement. The one voice movement. And because there have been so many different sounds, it brings confusion. We must now become one voice. And the voice that we need to release, the sound wave that we need to release, this one voice is simple. God save President Donald J. Trump. That's what we're going to say. And then we're going to inaugurate, anoint the president as we the people. We're going to shout. We're going to rejoice. We're going to blow the shofars and the trumpets and the pipes, whatever it is, dance to our cars, and we're all going to go home. And then we're going to watch. But we have to have a shout. Folks, I'm telling you, this isn't a passive moment. When the 300 men that were with Gideon were told to break their lanterns and shout the sword of the Lord, they shouted. This is not a weak, passive thing. I know you go to churches today and there's a, man, that time is over. And I'm not talking about emotionalism in the Pentecostal movement in some cases, not all, but in a lot of charismatic Pentecostal churches, it gets loud and it's very emotional. But God is training a people to roar, not to snore. And right now what we're hearing is this is a time for roaring, and there are too many people snoring. And we need to wake up the snoring church and tell them and teach them a roar. It's not man-made. It is a roar from the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. And if you are 90 years old, you still have to find that roar on the inside of you. If you're passive and quiet and petite, you still find a roar on the inside of you. It's time to roar. Save that roar for December 7th. Save that roar for December 7th. Praise the Lord. Okay, so let's go into this. That's our December 7th. If you have any questions, any comments, and by the way, when I make this YouTube video, I don't know how to make it go viral. I don't know what that even, I know it means it gets out there, but somebody's going to have to help us do that. And however that works, I will cooperate with you if you show me what needs to be done. I'll put a video out there and share it with anybody that wants to, and then we'll release it. One voice. That's the movement. One voice, a simple proclamation, an ordination, a rejoicing, a returning home, and letting everything else take the place. And the only God forbid, is that this trumpet goes unheeded. That's the only thing. And obviously, you know, those of us that are hearing this right now, if we don't spread the word, we're the ones that are saying we're awake. We're the ones that are resonating. We're the ones saying we could do this. You know somebody that knows somebody. You've got to get this out this week. I mean, a drive to your state capital is only going to take, how many hours to the state capital? 7 hours in some massive states, you're far away. So what? It's one moment in the history of the United States of America where the true ecclesia, the church, the called out ones, can do something. We've had prayer movements. We've had all kinds of prayer movements. We've had gatherings, hundreds of thousands. We've had meetings and conferences. We have a very specific calling in this most critical time in the history of the United States of America. It is critical. And what happens if whatever is going to happen happens without us having participated and done our part? But if we get involved, if we do this simple thing orchestrated by the Holy Spirit of God with biblical backing, if we do this, who knows if God will not move mightily? Who knows? There are so many biblical examples, like in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, when those massive armies were coming against little old Judah, the remnant. King Jehoshaphat cried out to God, and he prayed and interceded. And then Jehaziel, the prophet, said, you're not going to have to fight this battle. The battle is the Lord's. The victory is yours. I mean, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And what was their weapon? It was praise. As they began to praise the Lord, the Lord set ambushments against their enemies. My God. They praised God, and God set ambushments. And all those major military powers were defeated. And they just happened to be bringing all their gold and silver and diamonds into the battle. They were wearing all their stuff. And the Judah spent 3 days stripping them of all their goods. That's how God is. God can do. And there are people fighting in the judiciary, in the legislative, the lawyers. There's evidence. There's all kinds of stuff going on. But it needs the spiritual backing. The voice of the ecclesia. The voice of the believer. The voice of the church. The true church. The believers in Jesus. And though we have 1,000 different ideas, there's one rallying place for one voice. The one rallying place we have with all who believe in Jesus Christ. Stop right there. Forget about doctrine and dogma. Those who believe that Jesus died, was buried, rose on the third day, resurrected, and 40 days later ascended to the right hand of God. The rallying place for the rallying cry is at the cross. And all true believers in the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ can come with one voice. One voice. Folks, this is so outside of my flow, the rhythm and flow of the Spirit of God in my life. What is happening here is so beyond me. It is turning me. It is forming me. It is doing something so different. For I have been under the persuasion for many years that these days that we're in right now, we have prophesied these days. We believe in the hurrying up. I hear people out there sometimes saying, well, these people are trying to force the book of Revelation down our throats. No, we're not. The book of Revelation is an end time prophecy that needs to be fulfilled. And in 2 Peter chapter 3, we're told to hasten the day. In other words, hurry up the day of the Lord. And even though it's an unpleasant time, because it is the book of Revelation in full motion, it necessitates the second coming of Jesus Christ and the millennial kingdom. We want the king to come. Now we have this word. So this is so contrary. You know, I feared for this country. I feared for this nation. I feared for that the collapse that would hit this country. And I believe it's the righteous judgment of God. I believe 60 years of blaspheming God is not going to end well. But there's this moment. We're stepping into it, and we're going for it. So let's go for it together. One voice, one day, one hour, one cry. From one people, one voice. So with that being said, I want to go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 one more time. I want to look at this. And by the way, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 is brilliant. My God, it's brilliant. You should read it when you get a chance. 2 Thessalonians 2:1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him. Let's unpack that for just a moment. Paul is writing a letter to believers in Thessalonica. He's written them one letter. Brilliant. This is the second letter. And he's begging them. He's beseeching them. Concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And our gathering together unto him. Now, he wrote all about that in Matthew 24, in Mark 13, in Luke 21, 1 Corinthians 15, and in his first letter to the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, made it very clear. And in Revelation chapter 1, it's there as well, about the coming of the Lord, the dead in Christ rising, we who are alive and remaining, being caught up to meet the Lord, gathering together. So Paul's now addressing believers 2,000 years ago. And these believers were very concerned because there was a doctrine of imminency. He's coming any moment. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming any moment. This is what we call, and it's just the truth, the doctrine of imminency, known as the pre-tribulational rapture. And that's what these people were being told. They were shouting, he's coming at any moment. Now, Paul addresses it this way, but remember the event Paul's talking about here. He's talking about what the rest of the Bible declares. The Lord's return, the shout of the angel, the dead in Christ rise, those alive and remaining caught up to meet the Lord. We're gathered together with the Lord. That's what he's talking about. No secret, invisible doctrine of imminency event. It doesn't exist. But here he says in verse 2, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us as at the day of Christ is at hand. He said, no. You're being unnerved. You're being troubled. You're thinking he's coming any minute and everybody's running around. He's coming. He's coming. He says, no, that's not the way it is. In verse 3, he said, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come. What day? The day of his coming and our gathering together unto him. And the only time we see that gathering is when the Lord returns, the angel blows the trumpet, he sends his angels to gather his elect, the dead rise first, we are caught up to meet the Lord. It's biblical. We'll go through the whole thing. We'll show the whole thing scripturally. But this, he says, let no man deceive you, for that day that the Lord in our gathering together unto him shall not come, except there come a falling away first. Okay? And we've all heard about that. We all know the word. We go, that's the apostasy. And you're right, it's the apostasia. And let's look what it says. The falling away is going to happen first before the Lord returns. And that is a defection and apostasy. But it is a defection from truth. Or the state of existence. Listen, the state of existence that the truth would actually produce in a person's life. In other words, the state of truth, what state does the truth bring you into? The truth shall set you free. So when truth is not present and there's a defection from truth, it leads to what? Bondage, guilt, shame, condemnation, yokes, entanglements, snares, burdens. Not a free people because of the truth, but the defection of truth. Oh my God. The truth will set you free. It will set me free from every yoke, every bondage, every chain, every curse, every work of the devil. The truth of Jesus Christ sets free. So we know that there is a defection from the truth, properly the state. It's a falling away, but there's a deeper Greek word, and it is the apostasion, and that literally means a divorce. A separative. Okay? So apostasy is also a divorce. You remember how God divorced Israel? He gave them a bill of divorcement? Well, there will be a divorce. And that means that there were once people united in covenant with the Lord. But what he's saying here, and this is why we refute the doctrine of once saved, always saved, that if there is an apostasy coming, a falling away, a defection from truth, a divorce, that means people that once walked in covenant will no longer walk in covenant. They will fall away. They will defect. And then, this is the definitions we're getting right out of the Greek. Then he said that there must come a falling away first, and here's number two, that man of sin, that man, there's been many men of sin, going all the way back to Cain murdering Abel, Nimrod, pharaohs, kings, all the way through, Caesars, Adolf Hitler. You go through the list. There's been tons. But that man of sin, the day of the Lord's coming and our gathering to him, that one event that is clearly spelled out in Scripture cannot happen till the divorce, the falling away, the defection from the truth among believers. Among believers. Okay? Because only believers walk in covenant with God. Only believers know the truth, not the world's truth, but God's truth. Okay? So there's a falling away, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. We know who that is. You know who that is. That is what you're going to see in just a moment in the description. That is none other than Lucifer. Now, what body Lucifer is going to take on? Lucifer was in Cain. Lucifer was in Pharaoh. Lucifer was in the kings of Babylon and Assyria. Lucifer was in Adolf Hitler. Lucifer's spirit has been around for the beginning of time. He was in Nimrod. Lucifer. Who is Lucifer? And what body, what nationality, what is he going to take on that he's going to go into the temple of God in Jerusalem and he's going to stand and declare himself to be God? How do we know it's Lucifer? Let's look at the definition, okay? Now, in verse 4, this man of sin, remember, the day of the Lord cannot take place. The coming of Jesus Christ and our gathering together cannot take place till there's a great falling away in the church among quote-unquote believers. And this is consistent, by the way, with Matthew 24, that because iniquity abounds, the love of many will wax cold. They will hate one another, betray one another. This is talking about believers. This is not about the world. This is a consistent theology in the new covenant about the defection from truth, the divorce, the apostasy, the falling away that will take place at the end of the ages, right before the Lord returns. Okay? This man of sin has to show up. He has to be revealed, which means he's been in secret throughout all the ages of time. Lucifer has been a mystery through all the ages of time, but before the Lord Jesus returns, he must be, as it says, revealed. The son, this man of sin must be revealed, manifested. The son of perdition. All right. Who is he? The definition of this man of sin. Now, by the way, before I get there, how do you think this man of sin is going to be revealed? Well, if you go to Revelation chapter 12, it gives you a perfect explanation how this is going to work. Revelation 12. And remember, in Revelation chapter 12, the sign in the constellation of Revelation 12, I saw a wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, right? The two constellations that were mentioned showed up in September of 2017. On September 23rd, 2017, the Revelation 12 sign appeared. The purpose of a sign is to send a signal to the people on earth that something's on the way. Revelation chapter 12 talks about Lucifer, Satan, the dragon, the devil, being cast out of heaven onto the earth. That is going to begin the revelation or the revealing of this force called the son of perdition. He has fury in Revelation chapter 12, and he begins his war with everything, God and everything Christ. That leads to the great tribulation, and then immediately after the tribulation is when the Lord will return. So there'll be a great falling away. The man of sin will be revealed. Let's go back to verse 4, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. This son of perdition, this man of sin, is going to oppose and exalt himself above all that is called God. Okay, this is important to definition. I'm going to turn in my Bible to Isaiah chapter 14, and I'm going to share, we'll go there in just a moment, but I want to show you how the definitions line up perfectly, and I'm sure most of you already know this, but let's just look at it again. Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God. Now, the word to oppose there is the antikami, all right? And that literally is the antikamahi, I guess the best way to say it. And what it means is to lie opposite, makes sense, to oppose, to be adverse. It's going to adverse, to become repugnant or contrary. And you have to ask yourself, do we see that spirit in the earth already today? I mean, you're going to see in just a moment that everything that will be manifested has already been at work, as I said, throughout the ages. But this, to oppose, to means to set against, to withstand, to oppose. So we know that this one is going to oppose, and he's going to exalt himself. He's going to exalt himself. We know what that means, but let's look at the definition. Huperio. And it means he's going to lift himself up, to raise oneself over, to become haughty, to self-exalt. Okay, this is his MO. This is how it's going to work. So he's opposing, he's resisting, he's standing against, contrary, he's repugnant. He's exalting himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's 2 Thessalonians 2:4. Hold your finger there. Here's Isaiah 14, and I'll begin in verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? He's talking about Lucifer. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? And you're going to notice in Revelation 12, the fall of the satanic. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For you have said in your heart, so here's Lucifer. This is what Lucifer said in his heart. You have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. He exalts everything above God, right? Everything that's called God, he exalts himself. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. That's where the temple is. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. That's Lucifer. That's what he says in his heart. This is 2 Thessalonians. What Paul is describing to a people that were hearing, the Lord is coming, the Lord is coming, the Lord is coming, and getting unnerved and concerned and troubled about all this conversation, what was going on, Paul needed to warn them, don't be distracted by that idea. You need to get ready for what's about to be revealed. Now, did Paul the apostle know that he was writing to the Thessalonians that his message would go to the ends of the earth 2,000 years down the road to a people that will really fit the absolute bill of the book of Revelation in the genuine end times? Well, let's think about it. Let's talk a little bit further. Paul says, after describing this man of sin, the son of perdition, in verse 5, he said, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. So he told them. Now, is it possible that 70 AD, okay, let's talk about it. I'm not afraid to talk about it. I think it's a great conversation. 70 AD, when the armies of Rome, Titus, went to Jerusalem, not necessarily a Roman military power left Rome and they marched all the way from Rome to Jerusalem. I don't believe that. I believe that Rome had armies all throughout, surrounding in the Middle East. There were Syrians and there were all kinds of Middle Eastern, that Rome had proxy military powers. And I believe that Joel Richardson was the one that brought that out, and I thought it was brilliant and it made a lot of sense why they destroyed the temple. And it goes all the way back to the Ishmael and Isaac conflict and how Ishmael had this hatred, this despisement against Isaac, the promised seed. So let me just focus again. 70 AD, all those military powers surround Jerusalem. Jesus warned about this. They came into Jerusalem after months and you read the book of Josephus, and Josephus tells the story. They were starving. There was plague. There was pestilence. The believers in Jesus Christ had already fled. They already went to the mountains because Jesus told them, when you see these things begin to come to pass, flee to the mountains of Jerusalem, right? So get out. So when the people got stuck in 70 AD in Jerusalem and they were surrounded by military powers and there was no going in and no going out, they waited for a long time and the people began to boil shoe leather. They were eating their babies. The historical data was really nasty, really bad. They were freezing. They were sick. It became so horrible. And when they were totally weakened, then the military powers came in. And those military powers were the enemies of Israel, the local half-brothers, and their animosity and hatred. They went in. The Roman power was saying, don't destroy the temple, but they did. They did not let one stone rest upon another. Someone said they took a pig on the altar. They defiled the temple. And a lot of people say, well, that's the event that Paul was talking about to the Thessalonians. We disagree. Because if that had been the event, 70 AD, then that would necessitate, for Bible prophecy to be complete, that would necessitate that the great falling away had taken place. That would have meant the man of sin had come, and if that were the case, then the coming of the Lord would have happened immediately after. The dead in Christ would have risen. Those alive and remaining would have been caught up to meet the Lord in the air. They would have gone on to be the Lord. Then God would have poured out his seven vials of wrath upon the world, and then Christ would have come and set up his millennial kingdom. That did not happen. That has not happened. So we say that there was a preview of what will take place in these last days in a much more integrated world, nations all over the earth. The book of Revelation is the prophecy. So now Paul's saying, remember ye not in verse 5 that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. So he warned them. And now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. I believe that verse 6, is talking about now you know what's holding back the coming of the Lord. Going back to verse 1. Now you know what's holding back the coming of the Lord. What is it? The falling away, the man of sin being revealed. Now you know what withholds that he might be revealed in his time. Who? Not the Antichrist, not the son of perdition. Going back to verse 1, Christ. The coming of the Lord. You may dispute that. That's fine. This is what I believe the scripture is saying in context. So now we know what's holding back the Lord Jesus from being revealed, the coming of the Lord, our gathering together in his time. Now in verse 7, very interesting, the mystery of iniquity does already work. And that's what we're referring to. The mystery of iniquity of the man of sin, the son of perdition, okay, who's in that secret realm, that invisible second heaven realm, if you will. Remember Isaiah said, how art thou cast out of heaven, cut down to the earth? Revelation 12 complements that. So the mystery of iniquity has been in work in the earth since the fall of Adam on this earth. So it's already been there. He says the mystery of iniquity does already work. Only he who now restrains, it says letteth. Okay, let's look at that word there for just a moment. He who now letteth is the kataco, and the word kataco literally means to hold down. Who's holding down? Who is withholding, retaining, seizing, possessing. There's a lot of work there, and they boil it down. Most scholars boil it down to he who is now restraining. So, for the mystery of iniquity does already work, only he who now is holding, withholding, restraining, standing in the way will do so until he be taken out of the way. Now, being taken out of the way, what does that actually mean? Something that's in the way is going to be taken out of the way. And there's a lot of controversy here of what that actually means. One of the big pre-tribulational ideas is that this is where the church with the Holy Spirit has been in the way from the beginning of time. The church is in the way. And when it gets out of the way in a pre-tribulational rapture, then the man of sin is going to be revealed. Then the falling away is going to happen. But that's not what the scripture says. The scripture says that the falling away and the man of sin will be revealed first. But because that doesn't fit into a pre-tribulational rapture, we've got to kind of make that fit somehow, that there's a secret, imminent doctrine of the church disappearing with the Holy Spirit, because they're the ones holding everything back. But that's not the only possibility. Another possibility of what has been restraining is government and law. A lot of people believe that because mankind has become civilized and we're no longer vicious animals and we've got science and art and we've got, you know, this sophistication about us, that the laws of governments around the world, there's a restraining of law. And I kind of lean towards that because I believe the laws of God have been in the earth. And I believe that those laws that were once exalted really were very strong, and they restrained evil and they kept evil back. But we're coming into a time of lawlessness. Lawlessness. And there is a lawless one. And what is this lawlessness? Well, here in the United States of America, as you know, for the first 200 and some odd years, it was against the law to commit an act of homosexuality or lesbianism. You went to prison in the United States of America for committing a homosexual act. You went to prison for having illicit material like pornography. You went to prison for murdering innocent blood in an abortion. You went to prison for a lot of different things. Now, those laws were promoted to keep society sane, but now they've pulled down those laws of morality, those biblical God-fearing laws, and they've promoted lawlessness in our society. And look at the condition of our nation since they have done that. Okay? This is just a reality. So government, law, it's a restraint. And when they remove government, anarchy, civil disobedience, and they remove the law, get rid of all laws, become a lawless society, that human nature, that unsanctified human nature will become, you know, those crimes that we see people go to prison for, those heinous, evil, wicked crimes, that's in the human heart. And when there's no restraint left, humanity is going to be the fallen beast that they really are. And only those who are born again, that possess a new nature and have been transformed by the renewing of their mind, will be able to walk in the integrity of Christ. There's two men in the earth. There's Adam and there's Christ. And Adam, without restraint, is going to be a beast, a wild animal. Watch and see. We already see that. So he's saying the mystery of iniquity does already work. Only he who now lets or stands in the way will do so until he's taken out of the way. And then when government is gone, when the restrainer is gone, whatever that restraint is, I heard Daniel the other day say it could be Donald Trump is standing in the way of the global new world order right now and his administration, the people that are with him. Could be that, okay? Just put our best foot forward here. Then shall that wicked be revealed. And you got to stop there. Don't run on too quickly. The wicked one will be revealed, the son of perdition, the man of sin. We just read about him in verse 4, 3 and 4. He'll be revealed. Revelation 12, he'll be cast out of heaven onto the earth with fury and begin his persecution and his war. Revelation 13, that is the 3.5-year great tribulation that this revealed evil one will be forth. So, and then shall the wicked be revealed when lawlessness comes in, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. When? Well, if you'll read Revelation 19, Revelation 19 talks about the Lord coming and the sword in his mouth. And he's coming to judge and to make war. He takes the beast and the false prophet. He casts them into the lake of fire. Okay? So this event will take place after the evil one is revealed and has his 3.5-year period of time. Mystery Babylon will be in power. The beast will be in power. The false prophet will be in power. The man of sin will be in power. Everything will be in power. Immediately after the tribulation, things are going to shift. And in Revelation 19, this will be fulfilled. The Lord shall consume him with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. So this again confirms the second coming of the Lord, or the coming of the Lord, our gathering together to him in Revelation 19. Not the, remember, the coming of the Lord that was talking about is after the tribulation, the trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ rise, we are gathered together to meet the Lord in the air. That's what this is all about here. That is not the moment that the Lord consumes the Antichrist. We go to be with the Lord, and then the wrath of God is poured out upon the whole system of the world, remember? And then in Revelation 19, this is fulfilled. Okay? And we'll talk about that. I mean, because the Bible is very clear that the coming of the Lord immediately after the tribulation is not the same as the Revelation 19 coming of the Lord. There are two, and something that has to be looked into and studied out. The coming after the tribulation, Jesus never makes landfall. He never comes on the earth. He's in the air. The dead rise. We're caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And then we're with him. And then the wrath is poured out, but we're with the Lord. The time he comes to judge and make war and consume the powers of darkness is in Revelation 19. Then he says, what's going to happen in verse 9, even him who's coming is after the working of Satan. So now he's going back to the wicked one being revealed. And then in time to come, the Lord will consume him. But that evil one is the one whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Now, this definition is Revelation 13, the second beast. He comes with power, signs, and lying wonders to deceive all those that are on the earth. He calls fire down out of heaven. He does miracles. This is him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Okay, this is a lot to unpack, but it's awesome when you really stop and think about it, how the Bible is connecting the events together. Second Thessalonians, this one who comes with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, he comes with all power, signs, and lying wonders. That is the great tribulation, Revelation 13, the second beast. 3.5 years of this guy. Okay. As the ecclesia is passing through this time, immediately after the tribulation, now comes 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, the coming of the Lord, the dead in Christ rising, our gathering together. Then what happens? Revelation 16, the seven vials of the wrath of God are poured out on the beast kingdom, on the nations of the earth that rejected Christ, the overcomers that went through, those who died during the tribulation, they're all back to life again with the Lord. And then it says, and it's hard language, that for this cause, in verse 11, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Yeah, the people that rejected the knowledge of the truth, the apostasy, the falling away, they believe a lie. They believe they're saved. They believe whatever they believe, but it's not true. They've been deceived by God, which is really tough. That they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, that's not you. That's not me. That's not us. But there will be a people who were once in covenant, who broke covenant, divorced, defected from the truth. They fell away. Their love waxed cold. They betray one another, hate one another. This is in the body of Christ. They fell away. That's not you. You're going to endure to the end. You're going to endure to the very end of time. Now, maybe you have some questions about what I just said. Maybe you'd like to call in. I'll open the telephone lines, 818-369-0326. And we could chat a little bit if you're interested in doing so. And the number again, 818-369-0326. I'll put that on the board right now. And the reason why we're talking about this is because of what's coming so quickly. What is coming? What's happening around us right now? We have work to do, work while there's light, because the darkness comes wherein no man will be able to work. Our work is going to be on December 7th. That's a part of it. We're going to do what we've been talking about doing. You're a part of this. What happens afterward, time will tell. Keep preparing, spirit, soul, and body. Okay, what I'm going to do is start taking some calls here this morning, and we're going to go first of all to, and then I want to get back here, and the number is on the screen if you'd like to call in. Let's go to area code 605. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, my question is this. Okay, now, when the Word of God talks about the sons of God, they are going to go forth and do the exploits. What period of time in the book of Revelations, or however through the Bible, will this take place? Because this has been good teaching.
Well, thank you. And that's a great question. And I believe that the exploits are already beginning, because I believe that we are that generation to whom the prophecy, the book of Revelation is a prophecy, has come. I believe the stage is being set perfectly, that everything in the book of Revelation, when we look through that biblical lens, is taking place right now. And I believe that it has already begun. So the sons and the daughters of God have already begun to do the exploits, but I believe they will continue to do exploits through even the time known as the greatest tribulation to ever hit the face of the earth. And what those exploits will be, only God knows, but it will be something that will complement the kingdom of heaven. That's my answer to that question.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome, and thanks for the question. God bless you. All right, South Dakota, you are always on board. Anything else before we go on? Okay, we're going to move on to our next call this morning, coming in from area code. I'm sorry, did you have a question before we moved on? No. All right, so let's go on to area code. Hold on one second here. Let's get it where we need to be. Area code 760. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air. What is your question this morning or comment?
Hey, good morning. First of all, thank you so much for that study. That was awesome.
Thank you, God bless you.
Thank you. I had a couple questions for you, actually. The first one, touching on the restrainer, I wanted to know what your thoughts were on this. So you know how Archangel Michael is essentially the protector of Israel and the Jews, and he's the leader of God's army against Satan. And you know how in Revelation 12, it talks about like the war between him and Satan, and it's not until Michael defeats Satan in heaven that he is cast out of heaven and is allowed to wage war against the saints and the Jews. So I wanted to know what your thoughts were on Michael potentially being the restrainer, because it's not until until Satan is cast out of heaven that essentially like the great tribulation starts. I wanted to know what your thoughts were on that potentially.
Okay.
I came across that this weekend.
Okay. You came across that. So did you find that in your own studies, or did you find that in another teaching?
I came across that in my own studies, but then I got kind of confirmation from other ideas from like other people.
Okay, let me tell you what happened with me. You had written that comment a couple of days ago. You had, in the chat room or something, you wrote that.
Yeah.
When I saw that, I'll be honest with you, I thought that is almost a perfect answer. And so I resonate with that very strongly. I didn't mention that, but I think it's a very strong possibility that that is getting closer to the truth than a lot of things. I believe government is true, law is true. But this Archangel Michael is the one that actually throws this one out of the heavens. You may be absolutely right on about that. I think it's terrific.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I'm glad to know that you're kind of in that same belief as well. And then my second question, kind of talking about my question earlier, as far as like, can you lose the Holy Spirit? I heard a pastor this weekend, basically leading to the idea of legalism, like that if you knowingly sin against God, like after you're a believer, you essentially don't have the Holy Spirit, you can lose your salvation. But I know people, you know, especially like people with like addiction or, you know, familial sins or, you know, things that they struggle with, like they know it's a sin, but they fall into that temptation. Like, do you believe that as far as like them potentially losing their salvation, even if they're, you know, like on fire for God and, you know, like they're trying to be freed from that? I was curious what your thoughts were, because I know that goes against the Romans study that you were talking about the other day, as far as like the legalism aspect of it.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that. And I'll give you an exact answer. And I have to go to 2 Peter chapter 3, and that page in my Bible is ripped out. I have to go online to do it. But let me just tell you what it says, and this is what I do believe. In our study that we just had this morning, the Bible is very clear that there will be a falling away. There will be a defection from truth. There will be people whose love waxes cold. In 2 Peter, it talks about a person that was born again. They became a partaker of the divine nature. They escaped the pollution that was in the world through lust and corruption and defilement, and they received salvation. But then later on in the chapters, in I believe it's 2 Peter chapter 2, it actually tells us in verses 20 and 21 that that person that had been saved, who received the Holy Spirit, they went back and were entangled, because they went back and it was worse for them than it would have been better for them never to know the way of truth. And I want to get that if I can here and just read the scripture. And to have known the way of truth, let me get to it. So we'll say way of truth. And are you familiar with this concept or with this passage?
Yes, I am. Yes. And okay. Basically it would have been better for them not to have known. Yes.
Yeah, so let me just read it in this way. I'm going to go back one chapter here, and we'll go to Let's go back prior chapter. So in 2 Peter chapter 1, we'll pick it up in verse 3. 2 Peter 1, 3, according as his divine power has given unto us all things. We know that divine power is the Holy Spirit. He's given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. That's the calling. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Then you go back to 2 Peter. So this is escaping the corruption. And then in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog has turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed in her wallowing in the mire. So let me put it this way. Let me say it this way. I believe in the grace of God. I believe we're saved by grace through faith. But I believe that that grace of God is to be actively working in our lives, producing a transformed life. And I believe that there is a grace that is not true grace. I believe there's a gospel that's not the true gospel. I believe there's a Jesus that's not the true Jesus. And I believe if the true grace of God is working in someone's life, it brings them to a liberty and a freedom and a Lord. There are those that will turn back. We just read that in the apostasy. So I believe there's a balance. So that's my thought. Hebrews chapter 6 is also a very powerful portion of scripture that talks about this as well.
Okay, perfect. So even if you're on fire for God, but you fall into sin, you're at risk of losing.
We're not talking about falling into sin and then confessing and repenting. We're talking about people who once were on fire for God, who have quenched the Holy Spirit and have grieved the Spirit and have defected from the truth. They've walked away, maybe just too much pressure. They said it's over, or they literally stop believing in Jesus Christ because of the doctrines of demons that are going to be prevalent all over the earth.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. So mine was more like if you active, like if you fall into sin, like if you know something's wrong, but like you fall into like, say, a repetitive sin, like an addiction or something, but you're like trying to be freed from it. And you are obviously like asking God for help. Like if you're at risk of losing your salvation because you know that you're sinning, that's what the pastor was talking about. Like if you're actively sinning against, you know, like God, like you know something's wrong, but you can't help it. You fall into it, whether it's an addiction or whatever.
If that were the case, we'd all be going straight to hell. No, God is merciful. God forgives. God extends, he has an abundance of mercy and grace. And for people that are struggling, we'll tell the story one day about our own personal struggles, how God brought us through, what we had to go through to get to where we are today. No, God is good, and he looks at the heart of an individual, and it is the heart. There are people that are behind pulpits today whose hearts are far away from the Lord. There are people that we look at and say, man, you're so far away from God. Look at your outward condition. They're closer to God than anybody could ever imagine. The Lazarus story is an amazing story. But there will be victory, and there will be the power of God to eventually break that bondage in someone's life. We need to see the glory of God at work. And so if somebody has fallen into sin, it's imperative that the Holy Spirit is convicting them, their conscience is grieved, and they're calling and reaching out for God. That is, you know, that'll show up in the heart.
Awesome.
But this is a huge conversation. We need to have it and dedicate a whole program, maybe Thursday, to it.
That would be awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome, Sarah. God bless you, and thank you for calling in. We appreciate it. I think we have time for one more call coming in from area code 870. So let's take this call. 870, are you still there? Okay, we must have stopped on Blog Talk Radio. All right, so we're going to have to say goodbye for right now, and we'll go back to our comments. saving grace. All right, so we've just run out of time. Praise the Lord. God is good. God is good. Right now, Omega Radio, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, there's a roundtable discussion. We have lots of discussions like we were just getting into. We'll talk more about the once saved, always saved doctrine, how it fits into the new covenant. But for today, with everything going on in our world, for today, as we look through the biblical lens and we see things rushing at us at warp speed, how do you respond when something's coming at you so fast? If we are prepared, we're going to be able to handle it a lot better, and we won't be unnerved. We won't be caught off guard. Something is coming, warp speed. Right now, we talked about it earlier, vaccinations for the whole world, let alone the United States of America. There's a concern. What's happening? There's a mark of the beast. There's all kinds of things to think about. We have to know by the Holy Spirit of God. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that every person listening to this broadcast, and myself included, that the Holy Spirit, your Holy Spirit within us, the divine nature, the divine power that you've given to our lives, that we will come conscious of what we need to know to be guided and directed out of harm's way. And if the Holy Spirit says it's time to go into the wilderness, come out of her, my people, be separate, touch not the unclean thing. Whatever voice, whatever instruction that you're giving to us, we ask for it, that it will be very clear. In Jesus' name, internally, within our heart, we will know the truth. And Father, we want to thank you for your great salvation. We want to thank you for grace and faith. And Lord, for those who are struggling in addiction, in bondage, we ask, Lord God, that their faith would not fail them, that but by faith, they would experience the grace of God in truth that breaks the bondage in their lives. We thank you for the millions of testimonies of men and women who have overcome the struggle of addiction in their lives. And we thank you that you'll continue to help people everywhere, that you'll release your overcomers into the earth to do exploits and to help people through, to pray a prayer, to break, to bind up spirit, to cast out demonic presence in people's lives, that those demonic powers will not bring them into destruction. So, Lord, release your church to do exploits in this hour to work while it's light. In Jesus' name. We'll see you tomorrow. Lord willing, with Daniel Seckham. I'm Pastor Vince. Got to go. Have a super blessed day. Shalom. Remember, Omega Radio starts right now with a roundtable discussion.